There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Welcome to College Football Live, presented by Mazda.
Welcome to College Football Live. I'm Cassidy Hubbard, joined by Todd McShay and David Pollack. Happy Wednesday to you guys. It's the midway point of the week. We also just passed week 7, which was the midway point of the season. So it got us thinking of the midway superlatives. And let's start things off, David, with the offense that has impressed you the most through the first 7 weeks of the college football season.
Give me some Tua and them three bad boys out wide. I mean, I tell you what, just the ability to make a touchdown every single play. Two of these guys already have over 500 yards receiving. It's just, and that's not even counting Ruggs, who's probably the most dynamic with the ball in his hands. So just the ability to score at any time, whether it's a short pass, a medium pass, or a long pass, to me, it's Alabama's offense.
I'm going LSU, Pollack. You know, and
Whoa. It's
kind of factual information. It's a fact. They are the best offense in the country. I couldn't believe. Look, it's LSU, Bama, ahead of Oklahoma. You know, who would have ever guessed coming into the season? Joe Burrow, obviously, is the story. But how about this offensive line? And you look at Clyde Edwards-Alaire, the ability to run the football, and they just pushed forward or around in the run game when they needed it the most. So I've been so impressed in the competition that LSU has played to this point. Yes, Alabama might be a little bit more explosive on the perimeter. I think LSU might be a little bit more balanced. We're going to find out in a few weeks.
Yeah, November 9th, I'm just happy we're not going to get a 7-3 game there in Tuscaloosa.
Big 12
All right, let's go to the other side of the ball. Who has the best defense in college football so far, David?
Is this debatable? I mean, it's got to be Wisconsin. Like, I mean, I just, they give up 4 touchdowns through the season. They've scored 4 times themselves. I mean, they lead in almost every statistical category. Orr and Bond have been absolute animals, and they've just dominated and suffocated opponents. Jim Leonard's done a great job as a DC. I don't know how Wisconsin's not the answer with how they've dominated. Even if it hasn't been the greatest competition, to dominate that level is just, it's unheard of. It's stupid.
4 shutouts in 6 games. I love it. But it is debatable. I'm going Ohio State. I think Ohio State.
It's not debatable.
If I had to trust one defense in a game head to head, I'm going with Ohio State. We got better players, bud. We got better. We might not out-scheme you, but we're going to outspeed you. And we're big up front. We're doing a great job on the inside. Chase Young, you know, we've talked about it every single week. He's the best defensive player in the country. Jeff Okuda at the cornerback position. The whole secondary is just playing better than they have before. Greg Madison's been a huge upgrade in terms of the front and teaching, going from Michigan to Ohio State. Trader from the guys from Ann Arbor. So I'm going Ohio State, even though I agree so far. You know, the stats and numbers are with Wisconsin.
Okay, I was about to say, because stats mattered for offense with LSU, but it didn't matter for defense.
Not
Ohio
on defense.
State.
No, it's totally different argument. Yep.
David, there was a debate there. There was a debate. Let's continue on with the most improved team so far, David.
Most improved team that I've seen so far is LSU, man. I mean, I don't know how to explain it. It's unbelievable from watching from a year ago. An offense that was just, they were finding its way. And they had 24 touchdown passes in their previous 18 games. Joe Burrow has 25 right now, like through 6. So, I mean, they're just offensively on another planet, which makes the whole team better. And defensively, they still got a ways to go. They're not with the LSUs we've seen in the past. But offensively, I've never seen a transition from the Stone Age to the Jetsons' future that quickly.
I can't agree with you anymore, but kind of going off the radar, I'm just going to give another team Baylor. I mean, look at what Matt Rhule has done with this whole program, man. I mean, you're talking about 1-11 in 2017, 7-6 a year ago, getting to a bowl game and winning a bowl game. And then this year coming out and they're 6-0. You know, I had that Iowa State game. They dominated Iowa State for 3 quarters and then it was almost like they were afraid to win. And you can just sense the culture changing. They figured out a way at the end to win that game. They've got a big one this week against Oklahoma State, and they probably don't match up very well. But to be 6-0 at this point of the season with what they have and what they've been through as a program, I'm so impressed with what Rhule has done with Baylor.
Well, as you point out, notable improvement can be attributed to the head coach. So, David, your thoughts on who's been the best head coach so far this season?
Give me some Herm Edwards, because you play to win the game. I mean, you talk about the turnaround. First of all, there's two reasons why, by the way. One, because he recruited Jaden Daniels, who's an absolute freak show. Love him. Going to be the next big thing in the Pac-12. But how about winning two close games late, finding a way to believe, finding a way to beat Cal Herm in the turnaround that they've had? It's been amazing to watch, and you can see the confidence, and they're growing, and they're winning, and they're winning in Arizona State for the first time in a while, and you can tell it ain't going nowhere when you got a quarterback like Jaden Daniels.
I love that, and I love that dude. Herm Edwards is the best, man. But I'm going to go with Sonny Dykes, just throw him out there, SMU, what they've gone through. I mean, you're talking about the Pony Express, going back to 1982, since they were 6-0 at this point in the season. Eric Dickerson, Craig James, it's a whole different deal now, but SMU is playing with a lot of confidence. And Sonny Dykes owes the previous regime. They had a lot of talent when they took over this program.
And the transfer portal, bro. Like, come on down. Transfer portal. Absolutely.
We need one.
I don't know how we don't have a camera in the locker room to watch Herm Edwards every single weekend, because I'm trying to see what his pump-up speeches are like every week. So we've had 7 weeks of football, meaning we've had 7 weeks of awesome moments. But, David, what's been the best moment so far this season?
Well, I tell you what, when I think, first of all, we always think football, and that's the first thing that comes to mind, like what team won the big moment, whether it be Pitt and whether it be UCLA and Washington State. But for me, like, the best moment was Blake Anderson going to Sanford Stadium. Like, that was one of the coolest tributes and one of the coolest things that I've seen the Georgia fans put on a show for him, that you saw Rinaldi do the piece on him and what it meant to him and what he means to his team and stuff. That was just The when I think about this year and the biggest moment so far, to me, that was the biggest moment of the year.
How am I supposed to follow that up, man? I mean, you win here. You win this category. I'm just gonna tell you a quick story. This is a weird one, kind of off the radar, but Pitt, UCF. UCF had just pounded Stanford. They've been on such a run. I get home from a flight and sit down, and it's like 2 minutes left. And all of a sudden, they're coming back, and Pitt gets the ball, 56 seconds left. They go wildcat, and then they run the reverse off of it, and then they throw it to their quarterback for a touchdown to win. Again, 56 seconds left in this game. The stadium wasn't even full, but it felt like it was a packed house, like a Baton Rouge night. It was wild, and it was fun to watch Pitt knock off a UCF program that's had so much success the last few years.
That was an awesome game.
Especially in those unis. Those may be one of the best unis in all of college football. Lastly, let's get to the most absurd so far. David, what were you thinking moment so far through week seven?
I have been around football since I was 5 years old, 4 years old, and I have never seen what Georgia Tech did. Like, I don't know what this was. They were lifting weights on the field before the Clemson game. And guess what? It didn't work. It didn't help. I've seen the foam rollers. I've seen that. I've seen the stretching, but
get loose.
Bicep curls for the girls and deadlifts. And I've never seen that before. It's the craziest thing. And it didn't work.
We're going to be tougher. We're going to be stronger, but we're going to be exhausted come the third quarter. I mean, that's the whole plan.
But we're going to look good in our unis, baby. Let's go.
Oh yeah, man. I'm going to go with the craziest game I thought all year long. I remember I was sitting in a restaurant waiting for a red eye, and I thought ESPNU maybe on one of the screens was running a replay of this game. Talking about Washington State, UCLA. UCLA is struggling, obviously. And Washington State's not playing as well as they want to be either. But for UCLA to come back in this game, it lasted like 9 hours. I couldn't believe it was still on, and the amount of points. This was a fun one to watch, but it was crazy. I just didn't understand why it was still on. It felt like 2 a.m. when I was watching it getting ready to board a plane back east.
When Washington State's up 28, by the way, Cassidy, they could have literally probably taken a knee the rest of the game and finished out that game with a win. Instead, they gave it away like a nonprofit. Just fumble. Here you go. Take this. Don't worry about it.
I was going to say my takeaway from these first 7 weeks is that Todd watches a lot of games at restaurants because I think that's the second restaurant story that we got. Yes, that's exactly right. We live in airport bars. Before we go, I do want to get your thoughts on the midway point Heisman race because, of course, we do, David. Who is your Heisman pick right now?
Give me Joey B, baby. Let's go, Joe Daggum Burrow. I mean, at Texas, a top 15 team in college football, going tit for tat with Sam Ellinger. He had to put up a bunch of points. Against Florida, same thing. His passing game made Florida play pass, and they just pounded him in the running game. Just Joe Burrow has been freaky with his completion percentage, with his down the field passing, with every part of his game has been unbelievable. So give me Joey B.
Joe Brady comes in, changes the scheme. This guy is playing with confidence. There should be a 30 for 30 on this at some point. You know, what if I told you there was a quarterback transferred from one school to another, was an undrafted free agent, and 1 year later, with a little bit of coaching, he's going to be a first-round NFL draft pick. It's going to be a fun story to watch how it plays out the next few weeks.
That was great wording by you. That
really
sounded like
promo.
It 30.
What if I told
like
you?
It. That was legit.
Did you
what
write
if I
that
told
out?
You there was a
yes.
quarterback that
no, I just listened to a couple intros.
That was awesome.
I'm very impressed. What I got to tell you is there's a whole lot of season left, there's going to be a great one this weekend. Happy Valley as the Wolverines come into town. We'll break down the keys to this matchup after the break. And our next UFC fight night on ESPN2 and the ESPN app Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern from TD Garden in Boston with former middleweight champion Chris Weidman moving up to 205 to take on undefeated 11-0 Dominic Reyes in the light heavyweight main event. The prelims start at 6 Eastern. Back after this.
College Football Live is presented by Mazda. Feel alive. You're watching College Football Live, presented by Mazda.
Saturday, expect whiteout conditions for this Big Ten matchup. Jim Harbaugh and number 16 Michigan will be in State College to take on number 7 Penn State under the lights, 7:30 Eastern on ABC and the ESPN app. ExxonMobil's unexpected energy has us looking at a big one in the Big Ten. Sean Clifford leads a Nittany Lions attack that averages 9 yards per pass attempt and has thrown 14 touchdowns with just 2 interceptions. But Michigan's secondary has been among the nation's best, with more interceptions than touchdown passes allowed this season. And this matchup marks the fourth consecutive Beaver Stadium showdown in a whiteout environment for these two. So let's go inside the film room on this game. And Todd, what's the biggest thing you're watching out for in this matchup?
I want to watch how Sean Clifford handles himself in the pocket. I mean, it's nice, all those stats and numbers, but look who they've played. Now you're going up against Don Brown. You got man-to-man coverage. And I think Clifford's been anxious and antsy inside the pocket, even when he's had protection. Here you see in this Iowa game, get the ball out. And if you don't, look, you got a big pocket to work with. You don't have to take off. Don't get those eyes looking down. Hang in. And by the way, we got Jahan Dotson wide open with about 30 yards between he and any Iowa defender. But it's because your eyes were down and looking to run rather than continuing to go through your progressions and trusting your protection. So this week, I think, David, this is going to be a big key to this game because Don Brown, you know, he's going to man up and he's going to come after Clifford.
Yeah, that was the second play of the game, wasn't it? Literally, I remember taking that down.
And then the third, it set up a 3rd and 15 and he got sacked again and the drive was over.
Well, the good news is that you're playing a defense that stinks against the quarterback. I mean, they don't know how to get after the quarterback at all. I mean, Michigan's atrocious at it. They pressure the quarterback 46% of the time. It's not one guy. It's not two guys. It's three guys. It's all over the place. Don Brown's defense has 6 guys with at least 2 sacks. They bring pressure. We know they like to bring pressure, but they also got speed that can get in Clifford's face, make things difficult for him. So we know that Penn State up front. Now listen, Sean Clifford, the thing that we don't account for, he's got great mobility. That's a screen, by the way. That's a screen. And they're in there so quick. with some of these guys, with Uchi and some of these guys on the outside. They get in there so quick that they can make life difficult. But Clifford's best asset about him is his legs. He's a really good athlete. He can run the football. He's going to have to run it. But when he's in the pocket, when you got guys like KJ Hamler on the outside that can win, you got to make sure you hang in there a little bit longer. And if his guys don't protect him, this is a low-scoring game in Happy Valley, by the way. I don't think you're going to get a ton of points.
I was going to say, and Penn State fans, don't get upset. We focus on one side of the ball here. It could be the same kind of fiasco on the other side of the ball with that defensive front for Penn State, which is ferocious versus an offense that slowly getting a little bit better. But I haven't bought into Shea Patterson and what they're doing offensively yet for Michigan.
Gross Matos. I got his name down pat now. Gross Matos. Let's go, baby.
Gross Matos.
It does feel like a long time ago that we were freaking out about Michigan's loss to Wisconsin. But if they can hand Penn State their first loss of the year, we'll be talking
in
about
fairness,
Michigan.
In fairness, it wasn't really a loss. It was a frying pan to the head. Like it was a.
That's true. That's true. This one, 7:30 Eastern on ABC. Coming up, how the controversial call at the end of the Baylor-Texas Tech game has caused even more controversy this week. We'll discuss when we return.
College Football Live is presented by Mazda. Feel alive.
Time now for What's Your Beef, brought to you by Old Trapper. And Texas Tech certainly has some beef with the Big 12. On Saturday, Baylor appeared to fumble in overtime versus Texas Tech, and the Red Raiders looked to have recovered. But the play was ruled an illegal snap, and Baylor kept the ball and went on to win in double overtime. Texas Tech AD Kirby Hokut emailed with the conference Saturday night and was told the officials made a mistake, but that the conference does not publicly acknowledge such things. Now, Hokut then released the following statement, quote, "It is important to state that we have been in constant communication with the Big 12 conference office from the immediate end of the game and throughout Sunday regarding the illegal snap call in the first overtime. It has been confirmed that the ruling on the field of an illegal snap was incorrect. The play is not reviewable by rule because it is a dead ball judgment call by the official." Well, the Big 12 was not pleased and fined Hokut $25,000 for publicly criticizing the officiating. So, David, what's your reaction to Hokut's statement and the subsequent fine?
Well, before the statement, I think it's really important to point out that it was a horrible call. I mean, it was bad. Like, I don't even know how to defend it. It was very, very obvious, and Texas Tech won the football game. I mean, they recovered the football. The game's over. So this comes from a place of, obviously, you'd be upset, but I didn't think Kirby Hokut attacked anybody. I thought he said the truth. And guess what? Why can't we be transparent? Like the Big 12, guess what? Everybody at home knows y'all messed up. Everybody at home, even the people who don't even know how to play football, knows that you messed up that call. So why can't everybody else know it? Kirby Hokut deserves no blame and he deserves no fine.
So why is it the Big 12 gets to have a lack of accountability? You know, coaches have to go answer for what they did, the plays that they called. Players have to go answer for the mistakes they made and the things they did. Why is it that the Big 12, this conference, has decided, well, we're not going to be transparent. We don't have to be accountable. We'll talk to the teams specifically. I think you handled it perfectly, David. I don't have a whole lot to add to it except for the fact, and you know this better than anyone, we get caught up in the rules and we get caught up in the results and the standings and the rankings. Sometimes we forget, like, what they were doing in August, all these players, how hard they've worked to get to this point. And you go win a football game that you've grinded out on the last play, and you are told by a referee with a bad call, we're taking it away from you. That's hard to live with, man. And I think we forget about that sometimes. And hats off to Hokut for putting it on the line, and he's going to pay $25,000, but everyone in that program is going to respect him for what he did.
Yeah, they can't change the outcome, but being transparent can maybe change the way you feel about it. I mean, sometimes this feels like the cover-up is worse than the crime. Just acknowledge publicly that it was a mistake. All right, let's move on and finish out this show with some second-half predictions as we started with reviewing what happened in the first 7 weeks. So, David, what team do you think is going to make the biggest second-half statement?
Quack, 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 Mr. Ducksworth. Quack, quack, quack.
I love the
Ducks, baby. I tell you what, listen, it hasn't been the offense. It's the mindset, but more importantly, it's the defense. You're talking about you go literally a five-game stretch where you don't give up a touchdown. I mean, you're talking about a group that has adopted exactly what Mario Cristobal is. who he is, what he is. Dude was an offensive lineman, and you can tell the physicality of this team is way up and the temperament. Just absolutely love watching them. I think they have a good chance to run the table.
I love that call. I wrote down Oregon, Missouri, and I went with Missouri because I just love the fact that they lost that opener to Wyoming. And Barry Odom, I think he's a perfect fit as a coach at Missouri. What he's done, he's a really good defensive coach, and he's becoming a really good head coach. They've reeled off, what, five in a row since then, five or six in a row. They're playing with a lot of confidence. They're in the top 20 nationally in both offensive scoring and defensive scoring. You got a balanced football team. They've got 2 weeks coming up, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, you can get a win, and then a bye before that little gauntlet of Florida and Georgia. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out for Missouri.
Okay, so those teams have some good stuff to look forward to, according to you two. But which teams are going to suffer a second-half collapse, David?
Well, first of all, congratulations, Minnesota, for being where you're at. There's no reason to not brag about that. And listen, they're going to be 7-0, and they're going to be 8-0. So pound your chest, Gophers, and then you're going to lose three out of the last four. But that's okay. It's still a great season. It's not your fault. Penn State, you're going to lose. You're going to lose to Iowa, and you're probably going to lose to or you're going to lose to Wisconsin. So I think they lose three out of the last four. But, I mean, still a great season, bro.
You're looking at my notes, man. You're looking at my notes. Let's save some time.
We
got one more category to go. You said it all. Go ahead. I agree. Minnesota's the one.
Oh,
good luck.
Okay.
Row that boat.
Look at Todd producing. Then let me keep it moving. We won't have video for this, but what's the one game you're most excited about in the second half?
I'm going to jump David on this one. LSU-Bama shootout. There's no 9-7 like the old days. Let's go. We got a whole different world now in the SEC, and I love it.
90-78. Let's go, baby. Let's go. High scoring. Big 12 in the SEC.
Todd was looking at your notes now. That's coming up. Week 8 is this weekend. Thanks for watching, guys.